Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Beaver, mungle, tongue,
Hello and welcome to Two in the Think Tank.
The show where we come up with five sketch ideas. I'm Andy.
And I'm Alistair George William Trombley Birchall.
I started my song with the word beaver. Got immediately self-conscious that people would think it had some sort of sexual implication.
Oh, I think
went into everyone... nonsense. And the other two sounds that I managed to put into the song,
yeah.
One of them was tongue.
Tongue.
So, yeah. The only one that wasn't immediately sexual was bungle. But I even
bungle does really sound like it sounds like bunghole.
Yeah. Oh, no. Beaver bunghole tongue. That's what I sang at the start of this episode
of
the podcast.
That sounds like a sentence.
Yeah.
Beaver bunghole tongue. That's probably like the name that you give your tongue.
Oh, God.
Andy,
I've been making a lot of like...
Yeah. No, so hit me with it.
I've just been making a lot of faux pas recently.
Really?
Or like, just like, oh no, Freudian slips or something. I've just been saying a lot of things Freudian that other pas. People have been like, that's a Freudian pas. It's a faux slip. That people have been saying that's extremely wrong or sexual or something, pointing that out to me after I thought I was just saying complete nonsense. So I don't know, on some subconscious level, I'm obviously
How many people
deprived.
Are you hanging out with?
Like my beloved, and also the guy at the shop, and both of them have said it.
Wow, you imagine they get people at the shops to say it. That's amazing.
Well, this is my mate Dane. He makes the coffee, and we're thinking of starting a podcast together. Basically.
Are you guys
things are getting pretty serious.
A secret comedy project together.
Yeah.
Oh,
he
that's
know
it.
About
eh?
It, but that's
oh,
the nature of the secret.
I move away, creating a huge power vacuum. And this coffee guy just steps right in, doesn't he?
A huge podcast vacuum.
My corpse isn't even cold.
My body is. It's minus 13 degrees over here.
I thought you got self-conscious when you said beaver because you thought people might think that you were talking about Canada.
Canada. Yeah. No, not really. Hang on a second. Do you think, Alistair, that asking a male, because we all know that a group of white men is called a, what is it? A group of white guys is called a podcast.
Yeah.
As discussed on your podcast, a group of white guys is called the podcast.
Yep.
Where you analyze the origins of this phenomenon, or this joke. And,
I open up the, the meme explainer page and I read from that.
Yeah. But do you think that when a guy asks another guy who he's quite good friends with, to start a podcast with him, do you think that that is sort of like taking the relationship to the next level? And could we do some sort of sketch around that, using the tropes of, say, asking somebody out or asking someone to marry you or whatever it is? Saying we've been getting along for a while now.
It's a great way of asking one guy to ask another guy to go steady.
That's what it is. I mean, sure, we can invite guests onto the podcast if you feel like you need to do that to keep the podcast fresh. But also, and we can appear on on other people's podcasts. That's fine. But I want this to be your main podcast.
I
want
so
this
you think
to be the one
you,
that's in your Twitter handle.
The idea is that we're not afraid. Like, I guess podcastus has kind of been a thing for a long time. It's almost like the default.
Yeah, in a way, yes. You know, although I haven't done it very much recently, and I'm wondering if I need to get back out there and start keeping things exciting and maybe drawing more people towards the Two in the Think Tank podcast. I think I could be doing more to spread our funk all over the pod.
The pod universe, the podverse. You know? Do you think as our little tendrils, the little voicey tendrils, go into other people's ears and lead them back to Two in the Think Tank?
Yeah.
I always consider Two in the Think Tank my main squeeze.
That's really nice.
I want you to know that's the podcast that I divert from to go and experiment on others.
You were always on my mind.
So by asking guys, to go steady. To go on podcasts and make a podcast together. But should there be more official sort of like paraphernalia now that goes with that? That when you start podcasting with somebody, you guys get like a podcast eyebrow ring together?
Yeah, a podcast bracelet. You give them a microphone in a little, clamshell thing.
Well, I think there's that one that there's two bears with Tom Segura and Brett Kreischer, and they have, since been making so much money from their podcasts that they now have a thing where they give each other really expensive gifts. And I think,
That's fucked.
And Tom Segura got Bert Kreischer a teacup and a saucer. And what do you think made that really expensive?
Were they made of gold?
No.
Were they from the Titanic?
No. The third thing.
The third thing, a teacup and saucer. The third thing, were they owned by the Queen? Had they been owned by the Queen of England?
Close. They had been owned by Hitler. And the other guy,
very much
belonged to Hitler. And he just like the Bert Kreischer couldn't help himself. So maybe teacups is how you
Wow. I mean, when your podcast, when you want to get really serious with your podcast buddy, you start buying one another Nazi memorabilia.
Because
we all know, because what does that signify? That signifies that I'm ready to get serious about this podcast, which means I'm ready to start turning this into an alt-right podcast where nobody outside of my sort of bubble is going to want to have anything to do with us. I want to start cutting our relationship off from the world. Yeah. We are on the great, we're heading towards the great attractor of the right-wing griftverse, and I want you to go on that ride with me.
Yeah. It feels like maybe soon it's going to become the only verse. So we got to start edging our way in. We're in more Hitler stuff.
If only it was just the Queen or something.
Yeah, no, sorry. You know?
It would be great if instead of the thing that everyone was sort of really on board with being sort of fucked up neo-Nazism, if it was some sort of like just something nice and non-problematic like the British royalty, and it was the Queen, and we just became more sort of monarchy. We all became monarchists. We became a monarchist
it's
podcast.
It's the same thing, isn't it? It's like even though the British royalty have not gotten like an official like Holocaust to their name, they've got a lot of bad stuff that probably adds up over the centuries to that quantity, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think they've probably got one cumulative genocide, I'd say, probably.
Yeah, and maybe to even more. More.
Maybe
probably.
More. Maybe more. I mean, maybe more diverse, yeah.
Oh, that's right. It was at least diverse. So that's... you can't take that away from them.
That's true. They did commit genocides against
them. I mean, were there any kingdoms that went around the world and did good things?
Let's see.
Let's see.
The plant kingdom?
Hey, the plant kingdom. Oh, that's true. The kingdom of animals. I guess they are also pretty responsible for a lot of stuff. But you got to thank the plant kingdom for all that oxygen.
Yes. I don't think plants have been cancelled yet. Thank God.
Do you think we need to start Alistair. Again?
What are you? Are you serious?
Maybe.
This is one of the best episodes of the podcast ever.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Good.
I think it's really funny.
All right.
I'm having a great time.
Well, I'm glad. I'm glad.
Alistair, before the podcast, a couple of things came up, right? Yeah. One was somebody said he, hi. I can't remember why.
You said this is he, and I said he, hi.
Oh, right. That's all right. He, hi. Then we came to he, hi. And then I said something about a helium donkey.
Yeah.
You said something that was probably funnier, but I don't remember what it was.
No, I didn't. I didn't.
It was about a, is that how a cowboy says hello? Is that what you said?
I said it's a reverse cowboy.
A reverse cowboy. Well, hang on. Is it a reverse cowboy?
Not even. That's why
because a regular cowboy is
howdy?
Yeehaw?
Yeehaw.
Howdy.
Yeah. Yeehaw. Haw yee.
Yeah. Anyway, I said helium donkey, and that made me think of basically giving helium to a lot of different animals in the animal kingdom. Because I don't think we've done that yet. I don't think we've tried hearing what a lion sounds like after we've got it to inhale a helium balloon.
Because recently they started realizing that if you shine black lights on different mammals, that they glow in the dark.
See, right? And that's fun. That's you just see, a that's bit of fun. A goof. Surely and we're not really learning anything from that.
Well, you probably are. You're probably realizing why animals can see so well at night and see each other.
Sure.
They probably can see some more of the stuff in the ultraviolet range, and they can probably see each other.
Mm-hmm.
More easily.
Right. I apologize to science
and research in general. And to mammals.
Yeah, and mammals. I apologize to mammals.
Sorry, mammals. Can you say sorry, mammals?
Sorry, mammals.
We've got it, guys. Now we can use that. Andy's admitted it. We can take him to court.
Alistair.
So logically then, it's not crazy to start putting, animals into helium chambers, or making them suck on a balloon.
Yeah. Well, I think for a lion, what you would do is you would build a balloon man, right?
Yeah.
And you would sort of drag it along on the end of a string along the savannah, and you would let the lions maul it. And as soon as they bit into the lion, into the man, right, and all the helium escaped into their airways, then you'd have, I guess you'd have another real man run up with a microphone and try and capture their roars.
The problem is that they don't tend to roar that often, I don't think. So you would have to, like, get him right at the time that he was going to roar.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think they bite things and then roar. Maybe they
do. Well, maybe if a man runs up with a microphone, they would.
And that's possible. That's, you know, I guess if they saw the microphone, they go, oh, you want me to record something?
Yeah, well, maybe you could make that microphone look like a lion's mane. They're already quite fluffy.
Yes. So do you think that they tend to roar when they see a flying lion's mane?
Maybe. I think maybe, seeing another lion approach, another male lion, they might feel the need to sort of defend their territory with a roar. I don't know. I'm not a lion psychologist.
No, that's true. I guess I hadn't thought about that. So maybe some of the things that you say should be taken with a grain of salt. I guess you're right about that. I mean, what about filling them in a room full of nitrogen?
I think that's good as well.
Yeah? I know.
Yeah.
This would be untested. Do you know what I'm talking about?
It could be all sorts of exciting consequences.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Laughing gas?
No. That's nitrous oxide, I think.
Yeah, right. Okay, I thought maybe you were just ignorant. What do you... Well, it turns out I'm ignorant. What are you talking about?
Oh, there was just that guy in America that they were about to... That they may have just executed with a thing that they'd never tried on humans before, which is by filling up a room with nitrogen, I think.
Is that what they did?
The guy good who nitrogen, they had tried to kill him before, and for I can't remember how long, but for a long time they tried to find a vein and they couldn't for the lethal injection. And so then he survived it with an arm like a sort of a sewing pin, a needle pin. Not a pin cushion, sorry.
Mm. Alistair, I mean, that's quite a funny scene, right? Because I've been with my beloved to when she's had to get blood taken.
Yeah.
And her veins are quite hard to find for some reason.
Yeah.
And they are always poking around and there's so much apologizing and, you know, having to make small talk and that sort of thing while this happens. I think the scene in the, this is going to be so funny, in the lethal injection room. maybe you don't realize it's a lethal injection room, right? You just have somebody in there trying to put the needle in and constantly apologizing and not being able to find the vein. The patient who's in the chair keeps saying, no, it's fine, honestly. This happens all the time. And they're just making small talk. And then they're like, oh, got it. They finally find a vein. The person says, great job. It didn't hurt at all. Thanks. I know it's tough on your first day or whatever. Then they die. And then we go outside the door. We see the sign. It says lethal injection room. I mean, this is comedy.
I mean, I think that to have somebody who is, what's it called? Executor.
An executioner.
Executioner. Yeah, sorry. an executor. An
That's the person who, does the will, right?
Wait, an executioner. Executioner. Okay, executioner. And he's not a good one. And so he's always just like, he's like, hey, this is actually... And he's like, he's strapping the person into the chair. And he's like, hey, this is actually my first electric chair. So I'm actually going to need your help with this today.
It's really good.
And so, all right. No, I watched Green Mile. So I'm going to use the sponge. Got the sponge. put that under the thing. Now, if I turn it on later, because I mean, everybody's going to be watching at that point. So
yeah,
if I turn it on and it's not hard enough, can you... Like, if it's not enough juice, can you just say more juice or, you know, maybe wink?
Can you wiggle around? Like, if I've done something wrong and you're not actually connected up, can you just wiggle around a bunch and then lie still and I'll execute you after later?
And I'll just hit you with a hammer in the head later. Is that okay?
It's all good.
Yeah. Just because. I've had one go bad last week and I'm on three strikes already.
Mm-hmm.
And I just can't have this go bad. Is that cool?
They are really tough here on us. They drive, you know, they're real, I don't know the word. What about this? Because you're, it's a calendar.
Yep. Right? Oh, I love this already.
It's a calendar of the world's sexiest executioners.
Oh, right?
Now you've told me, have I pitched this before?
Are you saying executioners or are you talking about executors?
That's a different calendar.
Executors now, of wills?
I think in the past you've told me that I couldn't use the pun executee pie or something like that. I can't call them executee pies because cutie pies, that's for little children or something. That's not adults. You can't call an adult a cutie pie in a sexy way.
You know what? I'm really into it now. I don't know what's happened in my life, but I'm really into executee pies. Yeah,
I love it. Okay.
I hope.
Well, I mean, they could be done up any like Ann Getty's style, where they're like executioners in little flowers and stuff, and in a little bonnet.
Oh yeah, that's cool. I mean, I feel like, you know. Like, do you think executioners, they are like musicians or whatever, they always have to be like photographed with their instrument?
Does that happen with musicians?
Yeah, like whenever you see a musician do like a promo shoot, You're never like, oh, there's like, there's Brad Teigel or whatever. It's always like, there's Brad Teigel holding his bassoon.
Sure. Yeah. Okay.
You know, they always want to be seen with it because, you know, or yeah. Fighters, you know, fighters always hold their fist up against their face.
They always want to be seen with their hands.
Yeah.
They want the hands to be visible.
Yeah.
You know, the instrument. Thing. Yeah. Sure. Maybe you do have to take a photograph of the executioner with their...
But you could put it in a cute place, you know, like, there's no reason why you couldn't put an electric chair in a beautifully, like a really doilied room.
Mm.
You know, or
yeah,
like...
lots of doilies.
Or like, you know, maybe the executioner has a few electric chairs in his living room. Just for sitting company.
Arranged around a table for a little tea party.
Yeah, maybe the table was a little torture table, you know?
A little torture table, okay.
You know, they don't have to, but you know, as a coffee table, I feel like a torture table table would be nice.
Mm. Well, we're very into sort of, you know, at the moment, the sort of the thing that's very chic and in, and I'm, by at the moment, I mean about 15 years ago when my brain stopped taking in new information, is sort of in an industrial chic kind of look, right? So you have a lot of reclaimed industrial furniture and, you know, big old benches for dining tables or whatever. But surely the torture chamber thing is going to come back around again, and that'll be the, like, you know, people will be upcycling old torture tables.
Yeah.
You know, you can get an Iron Maiden and fill it with soil and use it as a planter box. That kind of thing is going to be, it's going to be gorgeous. So
it's,
I think,
be great once these things stop getting used so much. You know, there'll be so many up for grabs.
Yes, the torture chic. I think you could write that down as an idea, Ellis.
The torture chic,
or
just like the cutie executee pie calendars.
I think they're both different and equally valid ideas, and I think they're separate, and I don't think anyone could say one was better than the other. So I think that's why they both need to be written down.
They both need to be written down. They're both sort of fashion and beauty-based executioner and torture, because one's more pain and one's the end of pain.
Mm.
Isn't it?
Thank you.
So they're kind of opposite,
the end of all,
you know,
pain.
If anything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you're completely on board, but when you send me the picture of the pad at the end of the episode so that I can type the sketch names into the episode description, which I'm sure everybody reads when I upload these. Gosh, people love to read a show note. I will know then. I will check. And I will know. We won't have to speak of this ever again, but I'll know, Alistair. And you'll know that I'll know whether or not you wrote down both of those ideas. Also, I'll find out at the end of the podcast when you read them all out.
Andy, what's Rio Grande to you?
Rio Grande to me?
Yeah.
That's a big river. I think that literally translates as big river.
Really?
The Rio
Grande.
Rio
means...
river.
Really?
Yeah.
And so
like
when
Rio de Janeiro, that means River of January.
Really? So it's like a kind of like a seasonal river.
Yep. Correct.
What about Rioja?
They say, "Oh, it's that time of the month." No, that
Rioja
month of the
in Spain.
Rioja,
yeah,
Rioja.
Do you think that's a type of wine? Maybe it's a region.
Could be.
But ha, could do you be. Think it's like a little laugh?
Rioja, I feel like I've heard that word before.
Yeah, it's a type of wine.
It's okay. Well, there you go.
Yeah, yeah. And what is that? The same river when in Trio, Trio of Dips. does that actually mean Triver of Dips?
Trio de Janeiro. of Dips. Is that the same Rio in Riot Police? Is that like, because there's a big like sort of flow of
Rivet
Police?
Rivet Police.
Is that what that is?
Yeah. Trio. I didn't know that. Or, I mean, Rio means river. That's cool. So, anyway.
Why do you ask? Why do you ask? Are you looking at a bottle of wine?
I'm looking at a box.
Are you looking at a bottle of Rioja?
I'm really looking at a box. Because, like, sometimes they say, like, where does your creativity come from and things like that, right? Mm. Or where, you know, or, like, when I would do Alistair Lists Everything, people are like, how did you come up with stuff? I go, sometimes I just look at a wall and I go, a little bit of sticky stuff on a wall. The color white.
Yeah.
You know, I go, the texture of oil on a painted surface.
Mm.
You know.
Oh, you're really giving us a glimpse behind the curtain here.
Well, yes, actually, there was no
because
curtain.
Behind the curtain, there was
a wall.
I was
in front of the curtain.
Ah, a glimpse in front of the curtain.
Unless you were in between the curtain and the wall.
That's a great name for your next comedy show.
What?
Alistair. A glimpse in front of the curtain.
Yeah, that's good. That could be yours too, Andy.
Oh, we'll have rival shows with the same name.
And that's the show that you could promote. You got a reason now to go on people's podcasts.
No, I have a reason, Alistair. It's to promote Two in the Think Tank, my only podcast.
Your main squeeze. I thought you, mm-hmm. you've got like little things written down, little ideas for other podcasts, though, don't you?
I'm not like you, Alistair. I feel like you're always telling people, "Oh, it's only a matter of time before I've got other podcasts up and going, and I don't need this."
I never say I don't need this.
I'm going to start. You say I'm going to start my own podcast network. You're always teasing it and taunting it and just like
Andy.
Making it clear that you've got other options, whereas I don't. I've got no safety net here. This is it.
Andy, somebody asked me the other day, what do I think would be the best thing about dying?
Mm.
Right? And I said, I think knowing that I have 400 episodes of a podcast where I am mostly myself. My truest self.
I think you mentioned this on the last episode
Fuck.
Of the podcast, Alistair.
Fuck. My
I truest
think for
self your children a... re-listening to this after your death.
My truest
gonna...
self is a forgetful idiot.
True self is a bit repetitive.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't think you could... You know that I can't even continue a project. I would need you to call me up every week and remind me to do all 7 podcasts that I hope to have in my podcast network. This the willy nilly silly billy camilly.
That's so good. Do you think we should become cops?
Yeah, cops.
Yeah,
I do cops. Sometimes dream about becoming a cop. But I never want to be like a cop on the beat. I want to be a guy who like
sure.
investigates bigger
you
stuff.
You
want
to be a detective. Yeah,
I don't even want to be a detective. I still think there's too much meeting people. I want to be one who works in the shadows.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I still want to. I want to do detective like work.
Mm-hmm.
But all I do is the gathering evidence and stuff. I don't think I want to interview people. I don't want to make people feel bad like they're going to get in trouble.
That's really what cops are, isn't it? It's
yeah.
you getting in trouble. It's they're the people who get you in trouble.
Exactly. So as soon as you see them, it's like a part of you that was a part of you that's still a kid is like, I'm about to get in trouble. They have the power to get me in trouble, even if I haven't done something wrong. They know.
Imagine
about.
If getting yelled at was part of the justice system. You know, it was one of the part of the like the sweet. Of punishment options that are available to judges and magistrates.
You know,
I guess somewhere below community service,
I feel
get
like
a good talking to or being yelled at.
I feel like some cops do that to you. They yell at you
right.
and tell you what you shouldn't have done and blah, blah, blah. When really the punishment is to come. Don't add new punishment.
That's true.
I should get time served based on this yelling.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like he yelled, Your Honor, he yelled at me.
That should count for something.
He made me really feel bad about what I did. That's not his job. That's not his job. His job is to arrest me and then bring me to you. He yelled at me. That's
for this
like,
series of murders.
I should get money.
Mm.
I want money.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is me in court and I'm crossing my arms and I'm turning away from the judge and I'm going, I want money. No. And he goes, sit down. I go, no. Well, you get me money and I'll sit down.
Mm.
Get me some money.
I'll tell you what. I'll do the prison sentence you say, right? And I'll do an extra 5 years for $10,000. If you give me $10,000, I'll do an extra 5 years.
5 years.
Right now, but I need to see the money right now.
That's not good, Andy.
Well, he's not in a good negotiating position. No, he's just been sent to prison. But he's like, you'll look really tough. As a judge, you'll look really tough. Right?
Giving in to my demands like that.
No, well, they don't need to know, but you'll be able to give me an extra $10,000. Yeah. I mean, an extra 5 years of prison. And I won't even, you know, complain. I'll say, oh, yeah, fair enough. Like that. Judge. But I want 10 grand. Right, this is nothing. That's fine. This can be nothing, Alistair.
No, this is not.
Things can be nothing.
No, Andy, I think it's all part of a beautiful tapestry of a sketch.
I was just trying to expand and follow the thread of, well, what if this is the cost of doing, you know, if you have you can get money for the being yelled at. But then you still have to do your prison sentence.
Yeah. I'm not going to jail. That's going to suck.
Well, Alistair, right, I've already written my sci-fi Try Guys.
You've already written it?
Yeah.
You can't do that. You got to tell me.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
You gotta tell me you're doing it. Because then I feel an urge, a competitive urge that I gotta get started.
All right, I'll write another one.
No,
I'll write two. What if I have?
Okay,
two
you could write another one, but you have to erase the one that you already wrote.
Whoa. Okay. I want you to be my lawyer. I think you're good at this. Yeah? I think you're actually quite good at at pointing out things people are doing wrong. And you know, and sticking up for yourself. Things that don't matter, though.
You should see me when I'm in a really bad mood. Then it's like I find every detail of people. It's the worst human trait to have.
Do you tell them this to their?
Oh
do you
my
tell this
god!
To people?
It's just to notice every bad thing in someone's tone.
Mm.
And just like point, you know, it's like it's the worst. I'm very sensitive to tone.
Yeah, sure. I can be a little bit sensitive, but I would say I'm nowhere near as sensitive as you. But this is my technique. If I feel somebody's saying something bad, I either if it's too much, I just leave the room, or B, I like to think about how bad I am as a person, and that helps me helps me to not not be too judgmental.
I'll try that. I'll try that.
Yeah, I just like turn it in on myself, and I'm
I mean, I can't. You know what? Look, I think that there's something good there. You know what I'm gonna do?
There is.
I'm gonna picture those people. Every time somebody does something, I'm going to try and picture them on their deathbed.
Oh, this sounds like the right thing to do.
Or I'm going to picture them as a little baby.
Mm, you can picture them on... I'm going to picture them on my deathbed.
Or I'm going to picture them gone. I'll picture them gone. And what I would do if they were gone. Not
you
dead, just disappeared.
Gun.
Eh?
I was just going to say, you can have my gun when you pry it from my hot, dead hands.
You can have my gun when you pry it from my soft, well-lotioned hands.
They're so slippery. I use a lot of lotion.
It won't be hard. I want to give it to you, but you have
to come.
If you come
in with
it.
A dry hand,
yeah.
A dry hand versus, oh, this is a great idea, Alistair. It's the hand lotion arm wrestling competition. It's not as good now that I've said it.
Wait. Sorry. Say it again. I was in a sentence. I was constructing a sentence. I was like,
yeah, you can go with yours.
You can have my gun when you take it from my warm, living hand that's handing it to you.
That's what he says in his gun shop. This is a gun shop. I'm selling guns.
Mike's guns. you can have my gun when you pry it from my warm living hand that's giving it to you.
Yeah. Why do they need to pry it then? Why is there prying?
Sorry, pray.
Pray? Why pray? Why pray?
Why pray? Oh, sorry.
Take.
I was trying to be more true to the original sentence, and then
I understand, but I think I
fucked
up
the new sentence.
To what you were trying to say?
There was a cost, wasn't there, Andy? There's a cost to being authentic.
Yeah.
There's a cost to being so good at what you do. Mm-hmm. It's that you're not as good at what you do.
It comes at a price.
Everything has
a
price.
High price.
What were you going to say? Oh, you were talking about, wait, do you talk about lotion arm wrestling?
Yeah, but see, this is what I said. I was going to say, what about this? But wrestling, but lotioned wrestling. And then I was like, I'm pretty sure there is already like sort of oily wrestling, right? Is there already wrestling that people
but
do?
But there's not
where they're
oily arm wrestling.
Oily arm wrestling. So that's going to be
think,
mine.
Yeah. I think like, you know, like, especially, yeah, it could be that, or it could be like, you know, like, that really like lubricating stuff, like lube arm wrestling.
Yeah,
which I guess is very, very similar, but
this would be a great ad for some sort of company that sells lubricants, right?
Yeah.
They get the world's best arm wrestlers, right? They get them and they get them all slippery with their lubricant. It could be an industrial one, could be a sexual lubricant. I'm not going to limit this because this idea is open to anyone, and then they squirt it on their hands, and then they see what happens as they
all over their arms too. I reckon,
yeah, all up and down the arm.
Oh,
yeah,
even the arm they're using to hold onto the table.
This would also be a good scene.
Yeah,
a good. What would it be?
I think it could work. It could work in like a. One of those mechanic shop, because I know that there's like mechanics sometimes use a type of like kind of clear lube that sometimes you can.
Oh yeah.
I think some people. I know. I saw some pranks where people were having it there instead of a hand sanitizer, and people would squirt it into their hand, and they'd be like, "Wait, what is that?" And they just can't stop rubbing their hands because it's just so slippery and it's not going away, you know.
Do moisturizer companies, is part of their advertising, are they trying to convince people about how incredibly slippery their moisturizer is? Is that one of their key selling points? You're going to be so slippery. Because that should be in the ads.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Is that I think that how do you think, and do you think that there are any, or can you picture a new one entering the market that is positioning itself as the wanker's moisturizer?
Yeah, I think I absolutely can. Yeah, they're trying to do it subtly.
But they want to get in the supermarkets as well.
Yeah, they want to be up there just in the regular, you know, where anybody could reach them. They don't want to be behind any glass or anything.
He said there's no point for us making it into that sex section where there's the condoms. People only briefly glance at that while they're walking past so that people don't see them looking at that section. Right? You want to be in the moisturizer section where people are having a big, long look.
Mm-hmm. You know? I think a scene, an ad that features an Olympic pole vaulter.
Yeah.
Right? running up with their pole, sticking it in that little thing, yep. right? And then they're just and their hands just slip straight down the pole.
Oh, you know what? I would love it if he gets onto the pole and gets up in the air, but then slips all the way down.
Oh, that's really good. That's actually better. That's much more visually effective.
God,
and he's scrabbling, trying to climb back up it, but yeah, he keeps sliding down.
But he can't. Yeah, you know. And I mean, I can hear the viewers jizzing already.
Oh wow, the viewers of the ad.
Of the ad, yeah. That, you know, that we will film. But I wonder. Mm. This is a very gauche question, Andy. And I apologize for this, but I wonder. You know, like, do you remember that thing on Rove years ago where a guy was in a bathtub of, he was like an exterminator, but he got into a bathtub full of cockroaches. And then suddenly he was like, he came out of it and he was like, I didn't realize how much they stunk.
Uh-huh. Right?
Because he had never got enough together in one place to be able to properly smell them.
It's an emergent phenomenon.
Yeah. And so I wonder if you got enough dicks jizzing at the same time, whether they made a noise.
Yeah. Look, I think there's a chance. I think there's a chance, and I think that's exciting, and that's worth trying to investigate and find out. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. We could do this at the same cinema where I want to get, not cinema, the same theatre, the same live show where I want to get everybody in the audience to chat, clatter their teeth together.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be really good.
Everyone in the room to do that all now, together.
What was the last thing?
See what sounds like.
The
slippery pole vault.
Slippery pole vault. Pole vault ad. Is it vault like vault from like Volta the guy?
No, vault, VAULT. As in to jump.
Yeah, but that created by a guy called Vault?
He invented jumping. He invented jumping.
But with a big pole.
Well, no, the vault, I think vault already was just a word meaning to jump. I suspect. I do think a man inventing jumping, though, maybe a caveman could be a great caveman sketch about somebody who's invented jumping.
Oh, that could be good. The man who invented
he'd be like the Wright brothers of jumping.
But it would be such a shit jump at first, but he will have been the first to do it.
Yeah. And it's in all the papers, in all the cave papers, cave paintings, something like that.
The cave paint. Oh, don't ever piss off a guy with a piece of okra. That bars okra by the stick.
By the stick.
By the found stick.
Is that pronounced okra
or don't know.
Ochre?
Ochre? I'm not sure.
I think okra is some sort of root vegetable.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was rubbing on the wall.
Oh, really? Root vegetable, eh?
Ochre. Would you call it ochre?
Ochre.
I think I've already
I could be wrong.
I've already been given shit for a few things that I've said here, and people are like, you got to change how you say that. one was I went to an open mic and I referred to it as a gig, and people went, it's not a gig. It's not a gig. You're not getting paid for it. It's not a gig. And I went,
really?
I just call them all gigs. And they're like, well, it's not a gig. This is it's not even a booked room. In a book room, most of those, you're just getting a drink. And I go, yeah, I know how these things work.
is this in French?
No, this is in English.
Oh, all right. So there are English rooms over there as well, then?
Oh, yeah.
You're allowed to speak English over there, right?
You are allowed, yeah. Yeah, I mean, a huge percentage of the population here also speak English, and some almost exclusively.
Yep, sure. Okay.
Okay, what was the man who invented jumping?
Have you been to both languages of gigs? Have you been to...
Yeah, but, you know, some nights it has been... I just get to rooms and find out that the list of comedy rooms that are on the Facebook page is so out of date that I went to two that didn't exist.
And the Montreal Comedy Rooms Hub.
It's close. It's something. It's like, or maybe it's called Comedians of Montreal.
Beautiful.
So I'm spending a lot of time walking around the city through the snow, and then discovering the places I'm going to. There is no. I went into one place yesterday, and I was like, "Is there a comedy night here?" And he's like, "There is in the summer." And I go, and I go, "Why is there a sign outside that says there is one?" And I go, "No, I just I saw it on the Facebook page." Anyway, see ya.
Do you know any comedians over there?
I know one guy that I met in 2014 when I was here for a week.
Yes.
And, you know, I know a few people that I've met briefly again when I was here in 2014 and that are in Toronto. But no, I don't really know people here. Somebody introduced me, and the guy, a French comedian who gave me a list of that, you know, cause their list of comedy rooms aren't on a Facebook page. So he gave me basically a Google Excel sheet that has the list, and that one seems to be up to date. But then for some reason, a lot of their rooms seem to be selling out. And so I show up there and I go, "Hey, I'm here." And they go, "Well, there's no room for anybody." And I go, "Oh, I just came here from Australia. Can I watch?" And then there's not as much of the, I think there's maybe a little bit of a boom in the French scene. And I think in anything, when there's a sort of a huge glut of newbies, people probably, you know, I guess when there's an onslaught of new people in the world in something, people start to close down the
slightly.
Or are more tired with having to deal with so many people and stuff like that. And I understand what it's like for bookers and stuff like that. They are nonstop. It's nonstop. Anyway.
Alistair, they can't understand. They can't. You can say whatever you want. They can't understand us when we're speaking in English.
Almost everybody is at least a little bit bilingual, but they're not listening to this podcast because, Andy, you haven't been out there doing all these gigs.
Yeah. I'm going to do some.
You know,
they're not gigs. Don't call them gigs. Stop calling them gigs.
Podcasts. Sorry. Andy, we technically have 5 sketch ideas here. Would you want to do 3 words from a listener?
I love a technicality, and I would love to do 3 words from a listener.
There is listeners that listen to our show sometimes.
Okay.
And some of them join our Patreon, and the $3 Patreon subscribers can and often do submit 3 words that we use to as inspiration to create a sketch idea. And so today, 3 words come from David Byrne or David Bourne.
David Bourne. I was going to say.
David Bourne.
I love talking heads.
Yes.
And I'm sure that David Bourne has one.
The Byrne identity.
A head that talks. That's a really good idea.
Yeah.
A guy wakes up, right? He has no memory of who he is, but he discovers that he has a lot of new wave music skills, and when put into a situation where is it new wave? Were they new wave?
Maybe.
Probably
I don't
not.
Mind.
Maybe
post. But he sings in that weird. Yeah.
It's great.
I mean,
he finds himself in a lot of scenarios in which these instincts snap into gear.
Yeah.
He's able to be very creative, but apparently somewhat difficult to work with in his youth.
Yeah. It's like the long kiss goodnight, but as well. I guess it's the long kiss goodnight is the same as the Bourne Identity, I guess. Oh, yeah, it's the same movie, isn't it?
It's basically the same movie.
Find out. Yeah. They got a little bit more out of the Bourne Identity, you know, I think. They managed to squeeze a little bit more blood out of that stone.
Quite like the long kiss goodnight though. It's quite silly.
Yeah. I'm writing down the Byrne Identity.
Yeah. Okay.
I think the idea of somebody finding out that they are, like, you know, let's say you didn't do it as actually David Byrne, but you did it as somebody
indeed.
Who has incredible discovering that they have incredible musical skill. Or something stupider.
Yeah, I was going to say, I wonder if it needs to be something stupider.
I mean, you know, it could be sort of wall plastering.
Yeah, good. The stupidest of all professions.
Okay, so David Bourne has sent in three words, and you are not going to guess what they are, but you will guess what they are.
Okay, the first word is guess.
Gosh, I was shocked at how far away you were. the first one was cranial.
Cranial?
Yeah.
Okay, cranial. Cranial. Nougat. N-O-U-G-A-T.
Ooh. Oh, I think you've got the fourth letter right. A, right? Is that right? Nougat?
No, it's U-G. N-O-U-G, so the fourth letter is G.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, you don't have any right. delay. Second word is delay. So cranial delay.
Cranial delay.
Okay, now you can get this.
Cranial delay.
Like you could get any of them if you just tried hard enough.
Cranial delay button. Cranial delay button.
No, Andy, no. It's cranial delay surprise.
Cranial delay surprise. Wow.
I mean,
oh, I'm really.
I feel like that's kind of
disappointed in myself.
That's kind of what like smartphones have been. You know, they come in a nice box. They look like a really nice product, but really, all that I feel like they've done for me is make my brain slow down to a turtle's pace. I can't think anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, they invented a machine that stops us from being able to think. That's pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, it was Steve Jobs said that a computer would be like a bicycle for your mind.
Did he?
What is a mobile phone then? A bicycle for your mind, but instead of your mind riding on the bicycle, your mind
it's getting hit by a bicycle.
Yeah, you're getting hit by a bicycle. Like a bicycle hitting your mind.
Dropped on your head?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You are
cranial delay surprise. This makes me think of that blissful moment, right, when you have a head injury, but that fraction of a millisecond between when the object hits your head and between when your skull, still moving in the cranial fluid, hits the edge of your skull, right? There's just that little interval there, that beautiful microsecond when you get all the joy of having your skull hit by something without any of the bad stuff that comes from having your brain experiencing brain trauma.
Yeah, I guess because
you're just thinking, this is so good. This is never going to end. I'm always just going to have skull and scalp pain. Then the inevitable come down.
I'm always just going to have scalp pain. I mean, I think that there is something nice about hitting your head, because you're like, like you know that fucking sound when a head hits the pavement or something like that, and it does that weird hollow like melon sound.
Yeah.
It's actually an incredible sound. Right? But you can't get that sound without brain damage.
So are you suggesting some sort of service that would allow you to sort of have your brain taken out, maybe? Briefly.
I know, but I think the brain needs
just
to
for
be
long
in there
enough
to get
for you
the sound.
To smash your head on the pavement. They'll put something else in there.
Yeah.
And you will smash your head on the pavement. You'll get to hear the crack. I don't know how you can hear it if your brain's been taken out. They've probably still got your ears wired up to something.
No, but they still have the wires attached. They're just, you know, they've laid it down on your face. You know?
Your brain is just sitting there on your face.
Just on your face. Right? Which I think would also feel nice. It would be very warm.
I think that would feel really nice. Maybe your nose would sort of nestle in there between the hemispheres.
Yeah. And then you kind of get, okay, and then they're like, all right, now you lay your back and you hit your head really hard on the pavement and you get that beautiful hollow sound. And it's actually you get to hear it in a way because all your other senses are mostly blocked out by the brain on your face. So you're not smelling, you're not seeing, you're not tasting. You might, maybe a little bit of brain fluid might be falling in your mouth and you might be tasting that, but... You know, that's. I don't know why it always feels.
What a sketch idea!
Yeah,
what a great sketch idea.
This
is like. This is our version of flatliners, right? Where instead of stopping your heart and restarting it, they're taking out your brain, smashing your head on the pavement, and then popping your brain back in really quickly. But this time, when they popped the brain back in, something else came back as well.
Oh, no.
Something else got in there as well.
It was like a bit of snot or something like that from under your nose.
Yeah.
And a mustache hair.
Hmm.
I mean, is that the whole thing we're going to go with, do you think?
It's the whole thing. I think once it's a Flatliners parody, Alistair, that's what really turns it into a sketch. I know you were the most excited about that bit.
Andy, I'm excited about all of the bits that you're saying that I barely hear while I'm writing down the idea.
I'm excited about all the bits of the podcast that are a parody of Flatliners.
But I am. I do like that. And I plan on seeing that movie one day.
Now, which one? Flatliners or the Flatliners one that we make?
One that we make. I mean, Andy, I promise you, if we make it, I will watch it at least once. Probably Bin during liners. The editing process, eh?
Bin liners.
What about this?
Anything?
Oh yeah. Oh, that's something. Yeah, it was people who wear plastic bags over their head until they see the other side, and then the other person pulls the bag off just in time.
That's it.
The moment before they suffocate. Bin liners. I like that. I'm writing that down. Told you I love a Flatliners parody.
Yeah. Great. Oh, that's really fun.
I was thinking yesterday while I was walking to a gig that I couldn't get into successfully.
Have you got into any gigs since you've been over there?
I've seen one full French lineup show. I've been to one open mic that is not a gig, that it couldn't... It was said on the website it was going to start at 9:30, sign up at 9. By 9:30, nobody was there. Nobody like that ran the thing was there. By 10, then they were telling us, no, it starts at 10. And then by 10, nobody that runs it was there. Then by 10:30, the people that do run it were there. But then the guy was saying, no, there's a guy who runs it even more, and he's not here yet. And he'll be emceeing and stuff like that. And so then by 11, I was like, I was worried that I was going to miss the last train because I don't understand the system here yet. But I want to tell you that what... If you know, people complain about the Mikey system, the train system in Melbourne. I got to tell you, like over the years, like at least it's been simplified. I think they removed like zone 2 and they removed other things and stuff like that. Mm. And the Montreal system is so fucked. It's like somebody needed to yell at them and just be like, hey, no. No, just simplify. Like, for every type of ticket, you know, like in Melbourne, it's like, oh, you tap on, and then whenever you tap on or tap off or whatever like that, it decides what is the best ticket for you for that day. Right?
Right.
Right, but here, it's like, you got to buy each individual ticket. If you just go with an individual ride,
that,
you could do, like, you know, you could do 6 rides in a day, and it could end up costing you, like, you know, $25, something like that. It doesn't go like, oh, no, you just get the daily rate or whatever like that. Because they don't... Anyway,
that's a product of them... Like, there's a sort of an anachronism, a forced anachronism, or a forced, like... you know, they're holding themselves back on this language thing, right? Not to say that French is back necessarily, but like it feels like they're artificially trying to stop time in that way.
Yeah,
stop in the English language, and that as a result, other things get atrophied.
Well, I think that there's an element of that. I think it's because they used to buy, people would buy a ticket on the bus or whatever like that, and then they would get a transfer or whatever like that, which would allow them onto another thing within a certain amount of time. And I think they were trying to stick to that system, which is not necessary once you have a digital system.
Yeah.
You know, and then you can just be like, you have an amount of money, and then, yeah, anyway. It also just shows like, it's like, it's not a city taking, it's like the city isn't necessarily like taking care of you. You know, it's like, because when it's like, you know that the ticket system is giving you the best ticket that you could get for that day, you know that at least there's some kindness coming towards you. But this feels a lot more like a, it's like, oh, I'm dealing with a company that is trying to fuck me, you know?
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, that's not fun, but how about I read us through the sketch ideas for today?
Sure, that'll be fun.
we have Taken It to the Next Level by asking guys to make podcasts together. And maybe you both get an eyebrow ring together. Maybe a ceremony. I feel like, you know, like books always have a book launch. You know, that's a big thing, right? Even like sometimes when it's like a small book and it's clearly not going to sell any copies, right? They will still have a book launch and just like, you know, force the family members to kind of buy a copy like that, right? But then with podcasts, there's no, I've never seen a podcast launch. Maybe there is some, but there's no official standard kind of thing that they do. And I feel like this would be a nice thing. Maybe a podcast brunch.
Yeah.
Feels like a kind of.
I agree.
Yeah. Then we've got people faking. No. Wait. People fawning. No, falling. People failing to properly corporate punishment / executioner. All right, this is, sorry, I was not thinking clearly.
Did you say corporate punishment?
Yeah, I meant corporal, and this is this is how much I wasn't thinking. This is these people who are bad executioners, and they just need a hand. Give me a hand here tonight.
Real low status.
Yeah. Then we got the execute pie calendars. Then we got the torture chic furniture. Then we have the guy getting a stroppy because cop yelled at him and he's asking for money for being yelled at.
I love the word stroppy.
Yeah. Mike's gun shop. You can have my gun when you take it from my warm living hand that's handing it to you. And I think we'll have more stuff in there that'll be more friendly. Mike's gun shop, you know.
Yeah.
Then we got oily arm wrestling. Then we got slippery pole ad for the wanker positioning moisturizer brand. We got the man who invented. I mean, I didn't even write what he invented. Jumping.
Jumping. Jumping. The invention of jumping. Honestly, if there's any way I could make a career from just making parodies of the movie, The Invention of Lying.
I've never seen that movie, but I have started getting reels that are like clips from it.
Right.
And there's some fuck shit in there, I think. Then we've got the burn identity. And then we have the... But, you know, we'll find the right job. It could have been, like, somebody who was great at working in, like, in a Boost Juice or whatever. And they're unbelievably good at blending ice and fruit. You know? Tearing open those freezer bags of frozen berries. Then we got the Hollow Melon Head Hit Sound Company that offers this opportunity.
I think it's really exciting.
Chance to hear it. And then we have Bin Liners, the Flatliners parody.
I mean, that head cracking thing, like it's the last forbidden thrill.
Oh, it's the last forbidden thrill. Absolutely. And you could picture one day, like, you know, people who are really into thrill seeking starting to do that with like wingsuits on.
Falling
back and hitting your head with a wingsuit on.
Wow. Yeah. From the top of a... Landing on your head from the top of a mountain.
Yeah. Could do that. Incredible. Or you could just still fall backwards. Just fall backwards for about head height. maybe off a skateboard to make give it an authentic.
I think just coming down off a mountaintop and just smashing your skull.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's awful. That's so horrible. Alistair, we did it.
We did it, Andy. Did you write that leaving your body sci-fi story? Because that's what I was thinking about writing that one from the last episode.
I don't remember that at all.
Okay, great. Well, all right. Well, let's go into song.
Ling long, ling long, ling long, ling 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 long, long long long, ling 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 long, long long long, ling 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 long, ling long, ling long long. Thank you, everybody, for listening to In the Think Tank. I think today's episode, you know, it wasn't perfect, but I feel like we're finding our groove a little bit more, Alistair. Wasn't perhaps quite as tense as the last one.
Do you think the last one was tense?
I think there was a little bit of tension.
Really? What was the tension?
Just some tension about, like, you know, there were some slight issues with the delay, we were working under non-ideal circumstances. And also, there was some weird audio shit. In the end. So I'm hoping that's fixed this time.
And is it from my side?
I couldn't tell you.
Yeah, right. Was it also because I kept making jokes about you moving far away? Is that where you thought the tension was?
Oh, it could have been. I don't know.
I want you to know that I do that podcast, in though, humor. So. Because I moved far away. That's why, that's what the joke is.
I do get that. I do get the joke.
Yeah, great.
It's okay.
Because I don't get jokes. But, so, you know, sometimes I'm just trying to help you in the ways that I would like to be helped. Mm-hmm. If you could explain every joke to me that you make, that would be helpful.
I agree.
Great. Well, thank you very much for listening, anybody who did.
Yes, thank you very much for listening. And, you know, we strive to get better every single day.
Every day.
And we're out there working on our podcasting. We're working on
our own podcast networks. And
that's right.
And we think that it's only going to make us stronger for this podcast network.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think we should start a Two in the Think Tank? Andy, do you think we should start a Two in the Think Tank podcast network?
I'd love that, actually. Yeah. It's a really good idea. Yeah.
Because, what's it? Comedy Bang Bang has... BBB World. No, CBB World. Do you think we should have TITTT World?
Yeah, I think we should.
No, Universe. maybe like we can have whole podcasts dedicated to one sketch idea.
It scares me, but I love it.
Yeah. All right. Well, it's been nice talking to you, Andy.
And also with you.
And to all of
Thank
you.
Thank you, Alistair.
It's been nice talking.
One day you're going to get to do a gig in Montreal.
It's never going to happen, Andy. If it doesn't happen within 6 days of being here, I can't imagine that there's any chance.
And
we love
you. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.